Case number 201858, Avitas LLC versus Livingston County, Michigan. Oral argument not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Mr. Landon, you may proceed to the appellant.
Thank you, and good morning. May it please the court, Patrick Landon for the appellant, AverHealth. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, if I could confirm that. I see, thank you. I want to turn the court's attention directly and first and foremost to the May 24, 2018 email that was sent by the CEO of the appellant, Jason Herzog. He states to the court liaison, Sarah Applegate, something to the effect of, before executing the lease, we need approval on the location and contract from Livingston County. Landlord leaving for Northern Michigan for the holiday weekend in the morning. By the date of the email, May 24, 2018, timing is somewhat of the essence, I believe, because that is going into the holiday weekend. It's not uncommon for someone to be heading up north and the landlord wanting Avitas as the tenant to sign the lease leading into that holiday weekend. The timing is also consistent with the June 2 commencement date of the business relationship between Avitas and Livingston County. In response to that email, the very next date, the court liaison on June 25, 2018 states something to the effect of, per our conversation today, we are approving the new location and have attached the resolution to show it was approved and the contract will follow in the near future.
Well, why doesn't that, I hope you can hear me. Why doesn't that suggest that your breach of contract claim should fail? Because it clearly indicates that a contract will come in the future, not that a contract was formed then and there.
Right. And so I would answer that in two ways. I think it's a great question. The word contract, of course, is a legal term of art. It has a meaning. It's a meaning of the mind. It's not always a express written contract. The person sending the email was referring to a written document, but was also instructing the appellant to sign the lease, irrespective of whether the contract was delivered by then or not. And the most important thing, if I say nothing else this morning, I believe is something to the following. And this is in the record below at page ID 540. I think it's really critical. The county's position is that the RFP said you need a signed writing. But the RFP itself also states at page ID 40 that the county can waive the requirements of the RFP. And it's not just the RFP. In the purchasing policy attached one exhibit earlier in the record below, the county says we can waive requirements of the purchasing policy. And my point simply to this is that the county says to our petitioner in the RFP, you need a contract to start. The county then says, after that, says, you've been selected, the board has approved a representative signing a contract, and you know what? Go ahead and sign the lease. We'll send you the contract, don't worry, which is totally consistent with the waiver rights that the county reserved for itself in both the RFP and the purchasing policy.
So I looked at Michigan law on when the parties who contemplate a written contract can nonetheless contract through a meeting of the minds without having a written contract, and it suggested that the parties must have agreed to every material element of the deal, and I'm uncertain what some of the elements would be for your contract claim. Most significantly, what was the quantity term in this contract? Why couldn't, if your view is correct that there is a contract, why couldn't the county just refuse to send any probationers or defendants to EverTest. Why? There's no quantity term as far as I can tell. That strikes me as quite material. So how could we say that all material terms have been assented to?
Yeah, that's a great question. And again, there's a twofold answer. First and foremost, this is not a UCC sales of goods case. So it's not like a MCL 440-2201 quantity type analysis as to sales of goods. It's a providing of drug testing services. So the meaning of the minds concur, but circumstances. And of course, it's not just an express contract claim. There's quasi-contract, unjust enrichment, quantum narrow it, promissory.
We can get to those.
Along with an implied, in fact.
It still seems to me you need to have some theory for why there is some minimum quantity that they have to send to you. Otherwise, this contract is meaningless. They could have done exactly what they did. And I don't see anything in any of the emails that it was like an exclusive contract or that there was some type of quantity minimum. So I don't understand. Setting aside your promissory estoppel claim, which is different, I don't understand how a contract could have been formed here with all material terms, or if there was one, it would be a contract that wasn't breached here because they had every right to discontinue or not, at least not send patients or probationers to your services.
Yes, and this is a very interesting point, which I appreciate, on the exclusivity, which I understand the court to be driving at. There's never been a dispute about that below. It's never been raised or briefed. I think the court makes a original observation regarding, well, couldn't the county have sent patients to other drug service providers? And the reason it didn't come up below is because there was no question that that was not the understanding. The RFP sought to select a provider. Prior to EverTest, there was a singular provider. After EverTest, despite no new RFP and despite no discussion of the Board of Commissioners approving, much less signing a written agreement, there was a replacement of EverTest. When EverTest performed, it was partially paid despite the alleged non-existence of a contract. It was terminated despite the alleged non-existence of a contract. And it started working at instruction without the alleged existence of a contract. And never during any of those periods against any of those providers was there non-exclusive provision of services by the drug service provider for the county. So the meeting of the minds, in my view, and it would appear from below that the view of the county, despite the defenses to the contract claim, never arose or fell on the exclusivity idea. And I believe a reasonable fact finder would look at the submission, the approval, the email exchanges, and the performance, and easily be able to infer, based upon the entire context, that the drug service provider was going to be the provider.
I saw some emails.
Anything in the record that I've seen, at least, where the exclusivity was called into question, and the fact finder could somehow not reach the express contract determination that the drug service provider was going to be the provider.
Counsel, can you hear us? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. It's hard for you to see us, apparently, Judge Murphy was trying to ask some questions.
Yeah, I did have one question with respect to the exclusivity. There was the email exchange about the ETG tests, where there was the debate about the pricing, and it was 1925, and then the county was suggesting $10 was the appropriate price for this, and the county suggested that the parole officers, if you didn't lower your price to $10, would just send their clients, the probationers, to a different place, and there was a back and forth on that, which suggested to me that it clearly wasn't contemplated as an exclusive agreement, because of the kind of the entire premise of that was that the probation officers would send the probationers to other facilities.
And I'd have to see exactly the date of that, but my answer to that would be that The pricing was stipulated in a May 18 statement. And so I would have to re-review the deposition testimony of the author of the person of the county asking for of the price reduction. But I don't believe that person is addressing exclusivity when that person is saying, well, the probation officers could send the person elsewhere. I don't believe that that is saying that there are other drug services providers available. I don't believe that that person is addressing that point at all. That person's saying, as part of your proposal and your discussion, you should be competitive because probation officers may have a say. They may be consulted. Their opinions may matter as far as the type of testing being provided. There's also something else in the record that bears on exclusivity, and that's that it directly in the statement in the first instance when the county released the identification of Avertest as the drug service provider, and it listed the original location, which was changed, obviously, for case about, that communication itself said to all drug testers in the county. So the drug testers who were sentenced in Livingston County but resided elsewhere for whatever reasons of their individual cases could be tested elsewhere. But it was an explicit direction to the courts and the specialty courts, the treatment courts, to deliver to their constituents this information regarding Avertest.
Could I ask a question?
I'm sorry.
Not at all. It's difficult to communicate a little bit. I think my question is very similar, but not precisely the same as Judge Murphy's line of questioning. My question goes to what the nature of the contract is that you're asserting has been breached. Are you saying that the contract that's contemplated in the request for proposal has been agreed to by the county, and that any damages you suffer from not having this contract for the next four or 16 months, depending on that separate dispute, are awardable in this case? Because the contract that you're relying upon has the same terms as what the request for proposal contains? Or are you saying in the alternative that there's some different contract that has a certain number of terms as to which you've had a meeting of the minds? It isn't the same as the one that's in the RFP, but that contract, for however long it lasts, was violated. Or thirdly, are you saying this is a contract to pay for preparatory steps you were making for this other contract? I gather you're not arguing the third.
Yes, and my light is red, if I could respond.
Go ahead. Please.
It is, if I understood the three scenarios, it is the middle, the second scenario. We had a meet, we made a proposal.
So you're not arguing
the RFP. We reached differing terms based upon the multiple communications before we started performing. The performance is evidence of reaching that middle ground.
This is a new contract. Not the contract that's contemplated in the RFP, but a new contract is what you're suing on.
Yes, I would only argue the governing terms are slightly different, but that slight's not a mathematical word. It's a new contract.
Well, if it's a new contract, you can't rely on all the terms in the old contract. You got to have evidence that each term of the new contract was agreed to, don't you?
The new contract uses many terms of the quote-unquote old contract. But there are effectiveness and authorizations to begin that are supplemented and amended and aided by the May 25 and May.
It's not really an argument that the old contract governs, except that certain items of it are waived, but rather that you all got together and contracted for a new regime.
I'm saying the old contract, as we refer to it, was reached, and that is therefore a new agreement as modified in the scenario two option, where new terms were added and governed.
I thought
as to those terms,
agreed that your breach of contract argument was a breach of a new contract, not a breach of the RFP contract, which never became a contract. It's out. It's a proposed contract.
I'm not sure I've heard everything, but my response, Judge, is that I don't know if there was an old contract, but the contract that was reached and that I'm suing on is evidenced, at least significantly in part, by the original exchanges and the subsequent exchanges leading up to performance.
Thank you.
When was the contract formed?
When was the contract formed?
Yes.
The contract was formed when EverTest, as appellant, began performing it by sending the individuals who worked on it to Michigan, then living in Michigan, moving to Michigan, the lease being signed, the supplies being purchased, the services being rendered.
So, I'm sorry, you're saying the contract was formed upon performance?
Yeah, the conduct of the parties when they consummated the discussions was the formation.
Can you say that again?
Yes. I believe the moment in time the contract was formed is something that is within the evidence and would come out at a trial. And I think it wouldn't change the ultimate result. I believe that the fact that the contract was formed is evidenced by the authorization to proceed with the lease, the execution of the lease, and subsequently and further evidenced by the performance of services, and that conduct demonstrates a meeting of the minds, and the exact metaphysical moment in time, I, in all candor, couldn't tell the court because I don't know it exactly, but I don't know that it's material to the determination of whether we have properly made an express contract claim.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Sarah Osborne on behalf of Livingston County. Livingston County's position is that the district court correctly granted summary judgment in this case to Livingston County, and we request that this court affirm that decision. I guess I'd like to start where Mr. Lannon left off in and pick up there. Mr. Lannon has stated that the conduct of the parties is what formed the contract in this case. And I think it's clear, everyone agrees, no written contract was formed. However, what has not been discussed is the authority of the county employees that dealt with EverHealth to actually bind the county to a contract, or for their conduct to bind the county to any sort of contract. I believe EverHealth agrees through the briefing process that the Board of Commissioners is the body that has authority to enter into agreements on behalf of the county. The Board of Commissioners did adopt a resolution accepting the recommendation approving EverHealth as for drug testing services. The Board of Commissioners then delegated authority to the county attorney to review the contract or prepare a contract consistent with the terms in the RFP, and provided authority to the board chair to sign an agreement once it was prepared. The Board of Commissioners did not delegate any authority to the county employees to change the terms of a contract or modify the requirements of the RFP or any of those things. And pursuant to, so this leaves us with the party's conduct that Mr. Lannon refers to. Pursuant to Michigan law, it's fundamental that those dealing with a municipal corporation through one of its officers' employees must, at their peril, take notice of the authority of the particular officer to bind the municipal corporation. if an officer acts outside of their authority, the municipality simply is not bound. This is a matter of public policy and is supported by an extensive body of case law that Livingston has cited in its brief on appeal and other briefs regarding summary judgment.
So, counsel, what about, can you hear me?
I'm sorry.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
So what about...
I think I can hear you now. My camera wasn't switching to speaker view.
Okay. What about the... setting aside the contract claim, what about promissory estoppel? That doesn't require any contract.
It's
an equitable doctrine.
The same concepts apply in promissory estoppel because there can't be any sort of reasonable reliance on individuals who don't have authority to bind the county. And
but
it's EverHealth's responsibility to understand who that party is. And in this case, the answer is it's the Board of Commissioners.
But isn't there an argument?
Individual employees cannot make agreements or cannot bind the county by their actions. And the reason for that public policy is very important. It's that municipalities like the county have various officers, department heads, employees who are out working in the public and doing their jobs. And if they could bind the county by statements or actions to contracts that impact expenditure of public funds or...
Doesn't it have some significance that they executed the resolution?
Does it have significance that the Board of Commissioners adopted a resolution in this case? And I just want to make sure I'm understanding the
question. Yes, I mean, they took that step. They are the authorized, I understand that we don't have a contract, but we do have the actions of the board.
Yes, it does have significance. The action of the board approved the recommendation and set forward the next steps in the process. But the action of the board did not waive any requirement of the RFP, which did in fact require a written contract. And I would agree with Mr. Lannon. There are, of course, the board does have ability to waive requirements of an RFP. The board has the ability to waive aspects of the purchasing policy. That is clear and not disputed, but it didn't happen in this case. The board took the recommendation, approved it, and then sent it on to the county attorney to draft a contract and authorize the board chair to sign. Authorizing the county attorney to approve terms and put the terms in the contract that were necessary.
So you expected them to go ahead and sign a lease at your request and your direction and take their chance whether you were going to keep your word. Not you.
Well, sorry.
I mean, not Applegate, but the board.
Well, yes. Applegate sent the emails. The emails are not disputed. They were sent. Applegate does not have... accepting Mr. Lannan's arguments is true, that this is what the email meant. Applegate does not have that authority to bind the Board of Commissioners, or to bind the county, I'm sorry. Only the Board of Commissioners does. The Board of Commissioners did not take any action on those requests. The Board of Commissioners was not presented with any additional material. So, yes, Sarah Applegate made certain statements, but it was incumbent upon EverHealth to know that she is not the party who can bind the county to a contract. So they were perfectly able to say, we can't begin work until such time as we have the signed contract. Certainly, it's clear that the expectation was that the project would move forward on June 2nd, but the county would have, the courts would have found and used other testing agencies to complete the work. And just if I can touch on the exclusivity arguments, there is nothing in the RFP to indicate that this is an exclusive contract. There was no discussion of exclusivity with the Board of Commissioners. Had this gotten to the point where a written contract was prepared and signed, perhaps that term would have been addressed. But the point of Sarah Applegate's email regarding standalone ETG testing was that she was letting AgriHealth know that the probation department would not send testers, clients, for people on probation to AgriHealth if the AgriHealth is going to charge the full cost of a full drug screen panel.
Can I ask, what is the...
They just wouldn't do it.
What is the... hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
So clearly no meeting of the...
Hello?
Sorry.
Can you hear me? Okay. What and Applegate's email saying we approve the lease location. Who is the we? Couldn't AgriHealth think that the we is the board, because attached to the email was a board schedule suggesting that the contract or resolution had been approved.
So. I'm not sure from her deposition testimony if that was covered, but I believe the we was the court. There wasn't going to be an objection to the location change. The court was willing to go along with it. She certainly can't speak on behalf of the Board of Commissioners or on behalf of the county as a whole, but it does indicate that there wasn't going to be an objection to a change in location. What was attached to the email did not indicate any new or separate approval from the Board of Commissioners. What was attached, I believe, if I'm thinking of the correct email, was a copy of the agenda for the May 21st meeting with simply a stamp of approved next to the entry for the resolution regarding AgriHealth and AgriHealth services. So, There was no additional Board of Commissioners meeting between May 21st and the email on May 24th and Sarah Applegate's response on May 25th. So there was no additional action that was taken to actually approve a new location or to say go forward with the lease. But I hope that answers the county's position on that question.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. And we've discussed the issue of exclusivity, which was one area where there wasn't a meeting of the minds. There is some confusion over the duration of this agreement. The resolution gives a set of dates, which is different from the RFP, and I understand AgriHealth's position is that this was a typo, and certainly that's possible. However, to clarify it, to prepare that contract, it would have had the parties gone that far, it would have required clarification from the Board of Commissioners with an amended resolution to reflect the correct dates. Again, position of Livingston County is that there was the court employees did not have authority to find the county in any way, and any reliance or use of reliance on their actions is just not supported.
Can I ask a hypothetical about the scope of this argument? What if the email, instead of saying we, said the Board of Commissioners hereby approves the new location and promises that a new contract will come along? Suppose that she didn't have the authority. Applegate was just lying about that. Would her conduct...
I'm sorry, the sound cut out a bit when you were talking. If I understand, are you asking what if the email had specifically said...
Yeah, and she was... And Applegate was just lying.
The Board of Commissioners actually took action and voted on it, and had a meeting. Obviously, one commissioner can't speak for the board as a whole, or the board chair can't speak for the board as a whole unless delegated to do so by the board. But certainly, there could have been action from the board that would have authorized moving forward with this agreement.
Council, can you hear me? Council, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Council.
The board speaks through its resolutions. I'm sorry, I see the unclean.
Yes. Judge Murphy asked a different question. Could you try to listen to his question and then answer it?
Yeah, so the question, if you can you hear me?
I can hear you right now.
Okay, great. The question was, I'm curious about the scope of your argument that she basically, even though she's an employee of the county, she cannot bind the county in any conceivable way. What if she had actually said that the Board of Commissioners approves the new location and promises a new contract within a week, but she was just lying, so it was wrong? Is the AverHealth just simply out of luck under agency law, under that hypothetical, even though she's an employee of the county and she's claiming that the board has approved it, therefore it seems like there's actual authority for the approval, but she's just lying? I'm trying to get the sense for the nature of your agency argument here and how her conduct, even though she's an employee of the county, basically cannot bind the county in any way.
So I guess your question is, if she had misrepresented the facts and just blatantly said the county said the Board of Commissioners approved the resolution, I think that would be a better argument for AverHealth, but I still don't believe that the county is bound. Michigan case law is very clear on who can bind the county, and I don't believe, according to the cases we've cited, that even an employee misrepresenting the facts could bind the county. There is a specific line of cases addressing this this area of law. And I see I'm almost out of time. Does anybody have any questions?
Question.
Thank you, and again, we request that this court affirm the district court. Thank you.
Thank you.
I will be exceedingly brief in rebuttal. There are three very critical points. The email says we are approving the new location and have attached the resolution to show it was approved. So if the government on misrepresentation allegedly of what happened, then there is no such thing as a misrepresentation of what happened. There's a statement that the location was approved. And the contract will follow. Let's just be very clear. Not one piece of authority, I'll have you zero, address the idea that the county cannot waive its own requirements with sound writing. The RFP itself says the county can do that. This is a diversity case. Michigan law is clear that counties can waive. I believe that that was a waiver. We are approving, you get started. And we didn't just about to get started, we did get started. There is performance. So there's a contract in some form, quasi-express or implied in fact, all of which are strong claims in my view. And it happened when we were paid in part, then we were terminated. So I don't find it possible that there couldn't have been a contract of some form. As to exclusivity, I want to go directly to, again, the letter where Applegate and Sikarsky testified, it's in the record and it's undisputed, they stated, we want the location verified because we're sending a letter, and they did send a letter twice, saying we want to send all the people to that location. We have to notify them. The county never argued below that there's an exclusivity defense because there's no doubt that was part of the term. In fact, in the same May 25 email, Applegate says, I want a signed copy of the lease, so you go sign it because I want to, quote, let everyone, end quote, know. If that's not exclusivity, if consistent with the letters they sent to all the probationers, then I mean, I think that's clear evidence of exclusivity. In response to the Applebee's idea that the county doesn't act through its agents, that's just factually simply not the case. They do act through the agents. They specifically say in the resolution, the city manager or county executive is authorized to execute. So obviously, they have to act through agents like any other entity, which is what Sikarsky and Applegate were doing,
which is why we started performing. They paid us in part for the performance, so their statements obviously were effective at the county level, and there's no suggestion that there was a separate authorization from the county for that, yet it happened, and the email itself said that the county is approving. We have attached the resolution. So the resolution itself, it is not a condition for the parties going forward if there's not a separate contract, because that's what happened and that's what stated it was going to happen.
Was the resolution, was the resolution just for the location?
No, the resolution, this is my answer to the original very strong question, I believe, from Judge Rogers about the terms and what contract I'm suing on. And again, it was the original proposal that was accepted and awarded, modified by the new location. That is the totality of the governing terms of the party's contractual relationship. And the email in response to your question, Judge White, is that it was that we are approving the location, and she says, I attach the resolution. We talked about that. The attachment itself says repeatedly, approve, 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 all these proposals. So that is the contract. There's both an authorization on location and, of course, an incorporation of the terms the parties had already discussed.
Was there ever a document, a proposed document? I mean, apparently they thought that their lawyer was going to be reviewing a document and suggesting changes. Was there ever something that purported, even unsigned, but was there ever something that purported to be the future contract?
The answer, I believe correctly, is that the contract is the meeting of the minds on the material terms. A document, an express written contract, was never prepared because apparently the county lawyer didn't do it. I don't believe when the court says the contract, that detracts from the legal definition of contract and in answer to the question if there's a physical written document prepared. I don't believe it was prepared before Evertest was terminated.
Can I ask one question before you're done? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You say there's no question that a contract in some form was made, but that's consistent with what the district court did below, right? I mean, the district court made them pay for the...
No.
Well, you say no, but there was some payment ordered, right?
The county voluntarily paid less than we charged them for. The county said, send us an invoice.
And they paid less. They didn't pay...
They paid certain portions of it. And the court says, despite that invitation to send an invoice, which was not fully performed and only partially performed, the court said, you have no claim.
Well, what they said was, you have no claim to the... Pardon me, counsel. Pardon me. I know that you can...
For example...
Can I follow up? It makes sense to pay what was actually performed, but you're wanting payment to prepare for extensive additional performance.
I'm not simply seeking net loss, profits, damages. Some of the invoices included payment of expenses. Well, one of the expenses is the lease.
But you didn't have to pay their... Let me ask this. Did you have, under the RFP, did you have to pay the lease, or did you just have to pay and they bought the lease so that they could provide and get the money for each test? Was there a part of the request for, the contract that we agreed they didn't enter into, did it require that there be payments for specific costs, or did it just require payments for the tests that were given according to the contract?
The RFP itself addressed payment for services and tests.
All right. So you're asking for damages from the breach in the nature of costs that you spent to prepare to carry out this long-term project. That's what you asked for, isn't it?
I asked for both net profits under an express contract theory, and I am asking for expenses on the promissory estoppel theory.
I see. Thank you.
Thank you. Running out of time, thank you very much for allowing me to go over. And I'd ask for a reversal and a decision, at least on the merits. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Case will be submitted.